Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew, along with Sam. Be careful on your drive this morning. It is nasty outside. The temperature's dropping and the snow falling. Roads are bad. As a matter of fact, I look out the window a moment ago. I look right now.
Yeah.
And it's really bad. I'm glad I'm inside.
It appears that every major interstate, thoroughfare, or whatever, is a parking lot right now. And we can see a little stretch of Highway 100 out of our studio windows here, and hardly anybody's moving on that stretch.
It's not parking lot 100.
Seeing tweets about 169 being a parking lot is 694. Obviously, a stretch of that is closed due to the sinkhole.
Well, that's been filled in now. It's all
just
ice.
Just
drive right over it.
If you haven't left the house yet, just don't.
Just call sick.
You know what?
Yeah, stay home. Listen to us.
Telecommute.
We'll keep you warm by your radio.
Gather on the warm.
Pete Hegseth from Fox News will join us just after 8:30. Looking forward to talking with him. We'll get into a couple of articles written this morning about the GOP now backing Roy Moore, kind of. Trump endorsing Roy Moore ahead of the election a week from now, kind of. So we'll get into that with Pete when he joins us. One more story here on the school front. Out of the Star Tribune, we were talking about the school lunches and the horrible situation where they were basically, you know, shaming the students for not paying, scraping the food off of their trays and throwing it in the trash. All students will get a hot lunch in the Stuartville school district, even if they can't pay for it, after the school board voted early last week to overturn a policy that denied students a hot meal if their lunch accounts were overdue. So they still got food, they just didn't get a hot meal. So a media report earlier said a student who couldn't pay had food taken off the lunch tray, thrown in the trash by the cafeteria employee, brought widespread condemnation. Advocacy groups held a state capitol news press conference. The school board chairman, Rob Mathias, said the new policy will allow students to accrue a negative balance, unlike the former policy in which students were given a cold sandwich rather than a hot meal if they owed money. Who decided that was a punishment, by the way?
Yeah, what's wrong with a cold sandwich?
Cold sandwiches are tasty.
I'm guessing at least four times out of five, that cold sandwich probably tastes better than whatever the hot meal was anyway.
You know what? That's an amazing point. it really is. If you're talking about school lunches and you have the option between something cooked and then something cold, I'm probably going to opt for the cold in that case, right? The district will work with families that don't pay their lunch bills, said Mathias, and may send the accounts to collectors if they reach a balance of negative $75 or more.
This is getting out of hand.
Can you imagine being
ridiculous?
I know the debt collectors have their shade, but could you imagine being the debt collector for this? I'm calling because I'm sorry. I can't believe I actually have to do that. I mean, of all the things that you're calling for a debt collector.
It appears that your child ate one too many cold lunches.
Too many
turkey
and cheese sandwiches. I'm sorry, you owe money. You know, would you like to? If you'd like, you can do that in payments.
So you're going to have your credit score affected because of a negative school lunch balance. It's absolutely ridiculous.
The school board chairman said he's still not sure that a cafeteria worker ever threw a student's lunch into the trash. The story was told secondhand to a local television station and never confirmed directly to the school officials, he said. A review of what happened at the school is currently underway. Now, the Stuartville School District said some 680 families owed $11,000 on overdue lunch accounts. Says it costs $450 a year to provide each student with a hot lunch, according to the district's website.
Look, if we collectively as a society have decided that kids need a lunch when they're at school, and I believe that that's probably the consensus, right? If everybody, I think most people would agree, kids need a lunch while they're at school, then let's just provide them with a lunch.
Yeah.
Stop with this, you know, a la carte crap. Stop with this, you know, making them pay for each individual lunch. Just work it into your budgets. Work it into your budgets. Get rid of an administrator or two and use that money to pay for some really basic, simple lunches. Post the menu online. If parents don't like what the school's offering, then it is up to them to send their kid with an appropriate lunch for by their standards. But schools just need to offer a very simple, basic lunch. Stop with this. It's going to be a $250 a day nonsense. $11,000 in overdue lunch accounts. Come on.
Well, and I imagine
this
too.
Is not what school districts need to be dealing with.
If you did that, I would imagine that if you did that, and you had mentioned earlier, you know, maybe just charging a nominal fee. I bet, you know, if you did that, if you did a standard lunch, put out the menu that shows what the items are going to be, yep. Right? And then charged, you know, a couple bucks, you would probably get more students on board doing that with a flat fee and taking advantage of that, and were able to cover the cost more so than what you're doing now, you know, turning your lunch into a golden corral and offering your child all these different food options to which he's going, yeah, I'll have that, I'll have that, I'll have that, I'll have that, and going back for seconds and just racking up a ton of debt.
Suddenly you've spent $15 on a school lunch.
Wait, that's not $15. That's not worth it.
Rhiannon, good morning.
Hi, it's Rhiannon. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Good. Well, I missed you guys. Thanks again for bringing me the donuts. It was fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So a couple things. Why would they throw the lunch in the garbage versus letting the child eat it? Isn't that throwing away money? It's the same thing.
Yeah, the fact that this second story on this called that whole instance into question, sort of raise a red flag to me. I mean, according to the other story, Rhiannon, and they had said that the staffer who did this was told by somebody else to do it. But at the same time, I can't imagine, one, somebody telling a staffer to do it, and two, being the staffer that actually went and did that to a kid. That just doesn't. That doesn't pass the smell test in my opinion, and I agree with you. If you're going to throw the money away, just let them eat the food.
Yeah, and in my school district, actually, if your balance is over a certain amount and you're not communicating with the school lunch staff and like have a payment plan set up, they've actually started sending people to collections. Yep, they notified us that, but we were behind for a little bit, like very minimally.
Sure.
She said if you wouldn't have been communicating with us, she said we would have just sent you to collections. And we were like, what? We're like, for school lunch?
Yeah.
And if you're under $10, they call you and send you an email. So anytime both my child's accounts are under $10, I get that phone call and that email every single day.
Well, you know, maybe we need to reverse it. And thanks for the phone call. You know, if they're able to do that, then maybe we as parents, we need some recourse when they don't put the grades in on time.
Right. Yeah. For every time, they get a free lunch. Every time the grades are put into the portal late, you get credit for one free lunch.
We're just over here just solving problems.
Just fixing problems left and right.
You know, maybe they're intentionally doing this to take the spotlight off of how horrible the public education is in the first place. You know, let's put all this focus on the school lunches right now because it'll take all the focus off just how bad the education that we give is in general. State Representative Sarah Anderson was among those calling for Stewartville to demand to stop the demeaning students over unpaid lunch debts. Anderson said as she spoke with other legislators and the head of the state Department of Education about amending a 2014 state law on school lunches to add penalties for districts that don't comply with the efforts to prohibit the demeaning of students over lunch debts, perhaps by withholding state funding. I would hope that we don't have to go that route, she said. Anderson went on to say that the State Education Commissioner Brenda Casilius may simply send out an annual notice reminding districts of the state's position on lunch programs. Now, told of the school board chairman's comment, the Stewartville School District struggles to find the money necessary for the school lunch program, Anderson said that the legislature in 2014 provided additional funds for schools to help them meet their lunch obligations. I'm happy to look through a school district's budget and make some suggestions of where to prioritize some school funding. So, I mean, look, the reality is, and I'm glad that the State Representative Sarah Anderson was on top of this, that the legislature provided money, you know, several years ago, additional funds to help the schools meet their lunch obligations. So there really isn't any excuse whatsoever for the schools to go and have this particular issue with their school lunches.
There's no excuse for this whatsoever. And it's gotten, like I said, it's gotten ridiculous. It's gotten out of hand. And yeah, Sarah Anderson's right. There needs to be step in. Somebody needs to provide some oversight on this and fix this problem.
Real quick, this was actually...
Just slop some food on a tray and call it a day.
Call it a sloppy Joe. Slop some food on a tray. Call it a sloppy Joe.
Everything's a sloppy Joe.
I'm so hungry after all this food talk. Out of the...
Put cheese on it.
Out of the... You don't put cheese on a sloppy Joe. Well, actually...
No,
some shredded Colby Jack. Yeah, shredded Colby Jack on a sloppy Joe might not be all that bad.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. Let's go to Ben calling from Stillwater. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
So I'm a little bit confused because maybe it doesn't exist anymore, but when I went to school, there was free and reduced lunches. Does that still exist?
Yeah, that's still a thing.
So if you qualify for that, A, you're getting your meal for free. And if you don't qualify for it, the logic is you can pay. So I know with my kids, I set up a low balance and it charges my card automatically. I never have an overdue and it goes on my credit card and I pay my credit card bill. So I guess I'm a little bit confused with these parents that I assume a lot of them that are overdue can pay. You know, like the last caller, it sounds like she can pay. She just maybe forgot or wasn't on top of it for a while.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. I think there's
pretty good charge.
I mean, I can just tell you from my personal experience, with where my kids go to school, and they would do the a la carte thing, and they would rack up. They would be spending more than they realize. So we would put in an amount and we would say, all right, we'd send them with a check. Here's your balance for it. And this should cover the month. And they would work through that balance quicker than, before the month would end, still be getting lunches. And then at the end of the month, we would get an email and say, you have a negative balance of this amount, and it's probably a situation like that. And then you have parents that certainly can pay or maybe missed the email or just forgot about it. It's not part of their normal routine.
Right. But you can go online and set up a minimum. So once their account hits $15, it puts another $50 in or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah. There's no need for it. I mean, my kids do the same thing. It's like $13 a day on lunch. And I go, what in the heck are you eating? I don't even spend that much on lunch.
Jeez.
Yeah, man. You got to work that balance off.
Let's. Thanks for the call, Ben. Let's talk to Mike in St. Paul. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk. Justice and Drew, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, hey, good morning. Are you guys listening to yourselves? I thought for a second there I dozed off and woke up listening to EFL. I've never heard you guys preach more about single payer. So here's the deal. So if I pick up a bill for $11,000 at Target, I should just let you guys pay for it? I mean, that's what Drew's advocating. But, this is a learning, this is a teachable moment for parents. You know, if we can't pay for hot lunch, I'm going to make you a lunch. Go over, give everybody a free lunch. You know, why don't go over at it?
Mike. Oh,
yeah.
So yeah, Drew.
Up,
Drew, why are you for single payer, Drew? Why are you
talking about kids eating lunch? We're not talking about a healthcare system. Give me a break.
Right, and just so we're clear, we were talking about changing. Hold on, just for a second. If you spend the money right to pay for those lunches, then yes, you should have to go and pay for those lunches. I'm certainly not advocating for parents getting a pass if they've spent $75 on lunches. I think sending it to a debt collector is a bit on the ridiculous side, and there are better means to go and collect that money through the district than going and sending it to a debt collector. What if I'm not mistaken, Drew, what we were talking about was simply changing the dynamic of what is currently in place so that we don't have this particular problem.
Yeah, I want to eliminate this from being an issue. I don't want schools need to be focused on educating the kids. That's pretty much it.
Right.
I don't need a whole bureaucracy and administration set up around this school lunch program that companies are making a lot of money off of. I mean, this is a for-profit business for a lot of companies providing these services to school districts. I think it's ridiculous. I think we're spending too much on it. I think parents are spending too much on it. I said, if we as a society think that kids need a break in the school day to have a meal, you give them a very basic utilitarian meal and you work it into the school budgets.
Right.
And if you're a parent and you don't like what that basic utilitarian meal is, then you bring, you send your kid in with their own food. It is your responsibility as a parent.
Right. And look, and look,
I'm tired of these schools offering up these extravagant a la carte, you know, pastry. You can get cappuccinos and espressos
right
at my kid's school. It's ridiculous.
I'd rather have a sort of one size fits all with a nominal fee if that's what the school district wants to do. Or I've always, and I was serious, I've always just been an advocate of, it's lunchtime, you bring your own lunch from home, man. So save the money across the board. That's on the parents. It's the parents' responsibilities to provide their kids with lunches, and therefore, and then you can have other outlets, right? Let's go the other route. You could have other outlets that can help provide those needy families those lunches for those kids to bring to school. I believe that's never going to happen, but that's the route that I would go. But why are you for single payer?
Single payer lunches.
Yeah. Tax dollars are already going to that. Yeah. It's public school.
Exactly. 651-989-5855. Got a lot of people that want to chime in on this. Laura, David, Don, Rick, everybody else, hang on the line. We will get to your calls and more. Pete Hegseth coming up at 8:35 as well.
Justice in.
From Intellectual Takeout, Devin Foley has arrived. You came here via reindeer, right? On a sleigh?
I did. 2.5-hour drive. I was thinking of going to Chicago instead. So.
Justice Andrew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM.
Just to pull the curtain back a little bit, Devin Foley was scheduled to be here an hour ago, left his house like 2 hours ago, 2.5 hours
ago. 2.5 hours ago, yeah. Water to here is...
Goodness. I am terribly, terribly sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that,
guys,
man.
Ridiculous.
Don't even worry about it. It's Minnesota, so...
All right, well, you can join us as we've opened up this conversation about school lunches. It started off with this alleged shaming of a student with the food being scraped off of their tray because they didn't pay their meal. Now this has turned into, that's not going to happen anymore, but we may end up sending these bills to debt collectors if the parents go over $75. What is, we need to get back to the, we got stacked phone lines here, but when it comes to this issue, doing that thing with my fingers, school lunches, what is a solution in your mind?
Well, for me, I think, I don't think that you guys are quite on single payer healthcare quite yet,
That did seem like a bit of a stretch.
I think it's kind of a, you know, if we want parents to be more responsible, then, you know, parents providing lunch. That said, we do know that any number of kids show up without jackets and food and all the rest. So, finding the good balance, having cappuccinos and espressos in school is ridiculous. I think if you're going to do it, do the flat fee, but also know again that you are taking, you know, government is taking over responsibility of parenting that should be there. So,
yeah, that's
ultimately the parents' responsibility to make sure that their kids have the types of lunches that are appropriate and that they want their kids to have. But I don't think society is ever going to allow for a public school system that does not provide some meal for available to kids, because like you said, there are terrible parents out there that send their kids off to school with no jackets and no shoes or old shoes. We've all seen it. My wife works in a school district. She sees it every single day. And in an ideal world where everybody was a great parent and took responsibility for their kids, yes, you could have a system where, hey, you know, we're here to educate your kids, not feed them. We'll give them a break for lunch, but it's ultimately your responsibility to feed them. We don't live in that world, though.
No, I mean, we live in a world of plenty, and, talk about a PR faux pas. I mean, talk disastrous. You scrape the food. If that actually happened and they scraped the food off in front of the kid, that was a bad, bad move. But the, if we're going to assume that, I don't think that society will tolerate kids being hungry or without clothing. I think, though, that we perhaps should have a more serious conversation about the roles of parents. And if this is revealing that a parent, for whatever reason, is not able or just simply not willing or doesn't care enough to send their kid off properly, then we should have that role. And I mean, how many of our education discussions have been around the need to have parents engaged and the struggles that a lot of teachers have because of unengaged parents or parents who, you know, just, I mean, they're not there for their kids.
Let's go and talk with Rick in Albertville. Good morning, Rick. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk. Justice and Drew, you're also on with Devin Foley.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. You know, we could talk about a half hour about this, about social ills. And, you know, the one thing that I keep hearing all the time, you know, and you guys just mentioned it a minute ago, is parents being plural. And, you know, a lot of these kids, when you look at that, it's parents. And, you know, the income level's lower and on and on and on. But my big point is I actually looked into our school district and just about the waste of food that was going on because the kids didn't like what was being served. And it's the Department of Agriculture that oversees this whole thing. So I think the other thing that's got to happen, we've got to examine how deep the federal government is going into these local school districts' food programs and seeing what requirements are being slammed on these school districts. That's huge.
No, and Rick, that's a legitimate point. I mean, when you start, you know, peeling back the onion, you do see government intervention often, unfortunately, leads to more government intervention. And
it didn't work the first time. Let's do more of it.
Yeah, I mean, rather than, again, addressing the issue of parenting, we instead try to apply one Band-Aid after another. And Rick, to your point, I mean, we did a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request, to the Minnesota Department of Health about out-of-wedlock birth rates, Minneapolis and St. Paul. And in St. Paul, for instance, for an African-American child, Native American, you're around a 90% out-of-wedlock birth rate, and it's in the high 80, it's about 86-87% when it comes to Minneapolis proper. And, I mean, Hispanics have a very high out-of-wedlock birth rate as well, and even whites. And the Asian population has a very high one too, especially compared to other Asian populations around the country. So again, single parents, it's a legitimate issue we have to address.
Talk with Laura in Maplewood. Good morning, Laura. Welcome to Justice and Drew.
Thank you. So you guys hit on a couple of my points already about free and reduced lunch, which pretty much solves the money problem. But the question is, you know, like you said, who's responsible for feeding your kid and for probably tens of thousands of years, everything's been feeding their own offspring. And now all of a sudden this is something for the elite. Only the elite can feed their offspring. I guarantee if you interviewed some of these parents who say they can't feed their kids, you would see who's taking the lion's share of the food. That would be Big Fat Mama taking the lion's share of the food there. You know, you don't see parents giving up their food so their kid can eat.
The problem is fat parents.
Yeah, they're saying their kid's starving. They're not starving. Nobody's starving. Besides, that is very simple. What do you call it when you take something and you don't pay for it?
Well, for driving 2.5 hours, I came to this conversation. Yes.
It's called stealing. If you take something and you don't pay for it, it's called stealing.
No. You're absolutely right. I mean, again, though, as Drew and John pointed out, we're going back many, many, many decades when the government at various levels decided to step in and provide lunches for kids. And the programs have only grown since then. I mean, I know kids that are, you know.
And it's for profit. I mean, you've got for profit companies out there that are selling these school districts. And you know how school districts are. They like shiny new things.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a for profit company coming in and going, oh, it's going to be great. Kids are going to love it. They're going to be so happy. You know, we're going to put all these, we're going to put a pizza bar. We're going to put a pastry bar. We're going to put a cappuccino bar. We're going to do all these cool things. It's going to be great. And now we find ourselves with, you know, food getting dumped out in front of kids being shamed for lunch, kids racking up lunch debt that's ridiculous and completely unnecessary. Keep it simple. Your job as a school is to provide my kid with a decent education. That's it. You want to provide a simple utilitarian lunch break during the day? Fine. I got no problem with that. And you could do it with the money you have now if you were just a little more efficient with how you budget.
Yeah, I mean, we're still
spend an extra dime.
Right, we're still talking about some school districts out there spending $20,000, $23,000, $15,000 per student per year.
They should be getting salmon Benedict for that price.
Pretty much, and the teacher salaries.
Put cheese on that.
Yeah, and the teacher salaries are a tiny percent of what gets paid out. So,
let's talk with a friend of the show, David. Good morning, David. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk. You're also on with Intellectual Takeout's Devin Foley.
Good morning. Wow, the traffic is horrible today. I've been in a parking lot for an hour.
Thank you, anyway. David. Could not back that up more.
I don't know what I'm
Except
listening
David's
to
literally in a parking lot.
Andrew, I thought you were a libertarian, and now we're talking about the Kim Jong-il version of school lunch programs.
What? It's kind of,
oh!
It's kind of scary.
Oh,
give you a little,
intense.
A little education on the matter. First of all,
I love education.
A la carte items are not eligible for any type of reimbursement, and they can be restricted based on the software and based on the parent. So if you're a parent, you can call your school district and tell them, don't serve my child a la carte or don't serve more than X amount, $5 a day. Secondly, we're hearing a conversation about fixing a problem that's already been solved. The USDA has a free and reduced program that parents can fill out a single-page form and sign to get free or reduced benefits. Now, the state of Minnesota doesn't even recognize reduced. It fully reimburses reduced at free. So any of the income levels in Minnesota that gain eligibility give you free lunch.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and what you've seen in some districts is actually the implementation of an across-the-board lunch program so as not to single out those kids who are on free and reduced lunch because they don't want to be seen as, you know, needy or poor or anything else like that or marginalized or oppressed or any of the things that we're using. And so, again, it does... You know, the logic of the system tends to grow government, especially in the education sphere where it's just tax dollars every year and you're getting huge budgets and there's not really any accountability.
I just want school districts to get out of this business altogether, you know, of having these a la cartes and having to have, you know, caps and debts and balances and all that crap. And, you know, you're adding just layers of administration and bureaucracy that do not need to be there.
Just
put some
respect,
hot food on a plate and put it in front of a kid and work it into your budgets.
With all due respect, that's your opinion because school districts
You're
are
right.
run by the communities that pay the bill. I mean, they have the right to decide, well, we want to have a la carte. We want to outsource to some private company to run our food program.
Yeah, no, you're right. That is my opinion.
Well, and
you're right. Communities do have the right to make that decision. I just think it's dumb.
Well, the situation, though, is, too, that really, I mean, how much control do communities have over their schools? I mean, this is something we've been talking about and something that you just pointed out as far as the USDA stepping in and providing things. You have layers of government that have these controls. And, I mean, even for school districts where you've seen sort of a revolt of the community and people took over the school board, things didn't really change much. And that's because you have so many layers of government regulations. So much of how the money is supposed to be spent is determined either at the state level or even at the federal level. It is a mess. I'm more than happy to see things go back to the community-centered approach, but that means the community actually needs to support the schools.
Right.
And the community has the power, but that's not what we have right now at all.
Well, and we'll get back to your phone calls, but if you look at how we got here to the conversation, I mean, look, it started off with an alleged circumstance of a staffer who scraped food off the plate of a student who apparently was behind on making their school lunch payment, and that whole circumstance has been called into question, but if you believe that that happened, I think everybody can agree, that should not have taken place. So this has now spun into the change in, okay, that won't happen, but at the same time, we also may be sending some of these debts to debt collectors if it gets over $75. And look, if the school district doesn't like having to do that, then they need to figure out a solution to the problem that got them in this place. And at the same time, Representative Sarah Anderson was spot on when she said in 2014 they allocated money to the district so they wouldn't have this problem. So it's now just gone. This one alleged circumstance has now highlighted a continuing ongoing problem in the districts of which hasn't been solved yet. If they're going into debt, well, there's a problem with the way the system is set up, but there's also a problem because the parents are not keeping tabs on what their kids are and students are spending.
Let's go to Kelly calling in from Stillwater. Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, good morning. Good to talk to you. One thing that I want to point out is that there's a lot of us that are single parents that I make, for instance, a little too much to qualify for the free or reduced lunch, but I don't make enough to have, like one of your earlier Stillwater callers was talking about, oh, I just put it on my credit card, and when the bill comes due, I just pay it. Well, for those of us that have a really tight budget and have to watch every penny, you've got the school providing a lunch that, in my opinion, Sodexo and some of those companies that are like that, that are out there, they have their profit centers in the a la carte items versus their standard hot lunch. Well, most kids, I think, don't care for all that well the hot lunch, and I think that that's strategic on their part, because if kids don't like the hot lunch, well, we'll just steer them toward the a la carte items.
Yeah, and Kelly, I mean, I grew up with a single mom, too, cleaned houses, all of that. It's, I mean, yeah, the tight budget is there. I do remember, I mean, I never actually got to do the school lunch at all. It was always brown paper bag, some fruit, and, you know, a cold sandwich, and that was just how it was. But it kept the budget there. And again, that's, I mean, just shows how much things have changed in 30 years, that we now have just this massive, expansive to your point, profit centers for food and companies coming in and providing, as Drew said, the shiny new thing and the a la carte and this and that. And again, if we want to peel back the layers and actually look at education and what the schools are there to actually do, and if we want to reinforce the need for parents to be responsible, unfortunately, there are a lot of different regulations. There are a lot of different administrations and bureaucracies, all who have their finger in what people still think as community schools. And they're not community schools. They're just geographic centers for a lot of different bureaucracies.
Devin Foley from Intellectual Takeout joins us in studio. We're going to talk more with him coming up. We're also going to speak for a few minutes with Fox News' Pete Hegseth. Move off of the schools for just a moment. Although I do think we can all agree, just real quick, I know we're running out of time, but I think we can all agree, you know, at least this is the only issue that we're dealing with when it comes to public schools, because the education system is so stellar that it's right. Awesome that we can just deal with
just
school lunches.
Yeah.
If we can fix the school lunch problem. That's why we're talking about this.
Right. Next thing we're going to learn, they're putting cheese on their fish fillets.
Well, then they should be, because that's totally appropriate and totally fine. That's fine.
No!
It's awful.
God, please, no!
You're
no!
Just wrong. You want single pair, and you're wrong on your play of fish opinion.
Next thing. Are you? Justice in-
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Welcome back. Final segment of your Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have Representative Matt Dean going to pop in studio with us in the 7 o'clock hour.
Depending on the weather.
And last week we talked about the whiskey bar closing up in Minneapolis. Yeah. We're going to talk to one of the owners tomorrow on the show as well.
Looking forward to that. Intellectual Takeout. Devin Foley joins us in studio. Unfortunately, had to survive the roads this morning, but we're glad he finally made it in to join us.
Thank you, guys. I enjoyed the 5-mile-per-hour drive.
Looking out the window at Highway 100. Still a parking lot.
Oh, yeah. No, it's icy. It's terrible.
From Fox News, Pete Hegseth joins us this morning. Good morning, Pete. How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great, but every time we lose a bar, I shed a tear.
Right?
Right.
Right? Yes. Yeah, another one closing down in Minneapolis.
We have a couple of different items to talk about with you, Pete. I want to get your thoughts on. There was an article out of the Washington Post, RNC, to support Roy Moore. Also, Pelosi's comments on the tax proposal. Real quick, though, top of the list out of the Atlantic. Apparently, Trump's appetite seems to know no bounds when it comes to McDonald's with a dinner order consisting of 2 Big Macs and 2 filet of fish and a chocolate malt.
I mean, didn't we already kind of know that? Although, who knew anybody still ate filet of fish from McDonald's?
Exactly. Thank you, Pete.
I didn't know they had a chocolate malt.
And had chocolate malt, too. I don't think they actually have chocolate malt.
I think it's a shake.
Or maybe, you know, at Donald Trump's McDonald's, they know enough to keep some malted milk back there and to make it for him, because if he asks for it, he's going to get it.
No, I think it's just what the pretentious writers at the Atlantic call a milkshake. It's not a milkshake, it's a malt.
So long since they've been to McDonald's themselves.
There's a distinct difference.
They don't really care. Well, you know, the news media's had problems with that, with truth on a lot of things related to Trump anyway, so who's surprised?
Well, it almost, you know, this almost gives me some comfort knowing the Atlantic's going to spend, I don't know, what is this, five pages, talking about Trump's food choices grow more disconcerting. I guess they don't have anything else to complain about with him anymore, so we're down to 24-calorie meals.
And they wonder why they lose middle America.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say, because they can't even remotely relate to Donald Trump or the rest of us who visit McDonald's on a regular basis, because it's super awesome and super cheap. And they are still in love with Barack Obama and Michelle Obama's, you know, garden and their sustainable food habits and their love of arugula and forcing, you know, vegetables onto plates of kids across the country. That's the world they want to live in. Donald Trump's like, why do I live in a world where I can eat lots of calories really cheap with extra cheese on it and big old buckets of fries? Like, yeah. That's how we all want to live anyway.
Yeah, and it tastes delicious.
Learning that Trump's dinner consisted of two Filet-O-Fish may be the most offensive thing I've ever heard about this man.
I think you're right. I mean, it takes a lot, but that's big. They're not good.
He's crossed a line here, Pete. He's crossed a line.
All right, Pete, before we move on to the next more relevant topic, just real quick, you need to solve something here. So if you're going to get a Filet-O-Fish, are you putting a slice of cheese on it or not?
Definitely, and mayonnaise.
See, there you go, Drew.
Man.
So, just on the Filet-O-Fish. That's the only fish you put cheese on. That's it. Just that one.
I agree.
I'm so conflicted.
Because it's not fish.
And it's not cheese.
and I'm okay with both of those answers. Nancy Pelosi said not only did she say the GOP tax proposal was the worst bill in the history of Congress, but also said it was equivalent to Armageddon.
Armageddon. It's unbelievable. Just when you think their hyperbole cannot go as far as possible, they equate cutting your tax rate a few points to the end of the world. And it's because their rhetoric has to ratchet up every time, but they start so high that it goes to Armageddon. And it's also because that's how they view the world. I mean, their world is taxes and government. And so when you're committed to reducing regulations, trying to reduce government and cut people's taxes, it's the end of their world as we know it. And hey, let's keep ending their world. I just don't think there's a voter out there that feels like when this tax bill passes, Armageddon is upon us. I mean, it shows you how out of touch they really are.
Well, no, and you know, and it reminds me a lot of when we dealt with the Minnesota State Legislature and the budget this year before the governor went and did the line item veto. I mean, there were plenty of us in the GOP that were like, okay, you know, it's okay, it's not great. We didn't get everything that we wanted, but you know, we'll take it. We do understand that we live in Minnesota, and so you've got to make some concessions. And I kind of feel a bit of the same way. I mean, despite the fact that GOP has the majority in Congress, they're kind of the same way with this tax reform. It's like, it's not everything that I personally would like. I'd like some other things, but I'll take it.
It's not that it's tax reform. I mean, think about it. It's just, you know, corporations are going to be paying slightly lower. There's going to be maybe a few less tax brackets. You got Governor Jerry Brown quoted here saying, regarding the tax bill, it's evil in the extreme. You probably couldn't get him to say that about ISIS, but he'll say it about a tax bill. And then you got Nancy Pelosi quoting that tweet and saying, I want every single California Republican to understand this. Your ideology doesn't come first. Your party doesn't come first. The people come first. If you fail to recognize that, you don't belong here.
What?
She's going to put you in a camp.
Yeah, you know, Republicans, you're right. Let's ship them off to Russia where they belong, where they all want to be anyway, right? They're motive impugners. It's what they always are. You can't just be a good person with a difference of opinion. Frankly, the way I look at it, this, and you guys already said it, this tax bill could be a lot better, and Republicans expose themselves at the end of the day, a lot of them, to be the same as Democrats in that you'll get their vote if you give them a couple sweetheart deals or you give them a loophole, you carve out this, you carve out that. So what started as a tax bill that was supposed to be on a postcard now is going to be a couple sheets of paper. They're writing on the margins. As much as I will like it and support it, Republicans are just as cowardly oftentimes at the 11th hour as Democrats are, and they take the same kind of deal, which is just reaffirming how disappointed we have been in this process and how bad Democrats can be, or Republicans can be as well. You just won't catch many Democrats saying that usually. They fight as a team, and they love to call people names, and they do it. Well, I don't know that they do it well anymore. They just keep doing it.
Pete, does the individual mandate removal, does that survive the process when they team up to?
How does it not? If you are a Republican in the House of Representatives and you voted to repeal Obamacare 1,000 times, how do you not say, thank you, Senate? I mean, if it was the other way around, I'd be surprised if they could sneak it in, because the Senate is always the point of obstruction. It's got to. I mean, I think as a Republican, we need to demand that.
One more thing, real quick. We're a week away from the election in Alabama. An article out of the Washington Post. I take a bit of an issue with the way they frame this, but they talk about RNC to support more in Senate race in Alabama weeks after cutting ties. Senate Republican leaders did remain critical of Moore yesterday, warning that the former judge is likely to face an immediate ethics probe if he's elected next week. But America's First Action Super PAC, following what the Washington Post says was Trump's lead, announced that it would spend $1.1 million to elect Moore. And what they focus on here is the tweet from Trump on Monday saying, we need his vote on stopping crime, illegal immigration, border wall, military pro-life. They're taking that as an endorsement from Trump. What is your take on this particular pact and Trump's tweet when it comes to Roy Moore?
From what I've seen, Trump has endorsed him.
Okay,
he called him, and Roy Moore's going to win. I think that has maybe not for Trump because he dug in his heels and never abandoned in light of all the accusations. Again, which if true are as disturbing to me as anybody else. But setting that aside, he said I want to let the voters of Alabama decide. Now that's what Mitch McConnell is saying. Now that's what most of Washington is echoing. And there was a poll, I think, that came out of Alabama that said 71 to 17, 71% of Alabama voters do not believe the accusations against Roy Moore. That is a stunning number, and as a result, reflects that when they go to the polls, they're probably as a bright red Republican state, they're going to vote to send this guy. And this is as much a rejection of the elite, of the coastal elites, who thumbed their nose at them and said you must remove him, and he dug in his heels and fought back. I think he's going to win, and the reason people are coming around is because he's going to win.
Yeah,
and they see the numbers.
What was that number that you said again? The number of people
they polled Alabama voters as to whether or not they believe the accusations against Roy Moore, mm-hmm. and 71% of Alabama voters said they do not believe the accusations against Roy Moore, or they're not fully true.
That's crazy. Interesting.
That's unbelievable.
That's a crazy number.
71 to 17. So that shows you why, even with the onslaught against him, he'll likely win that race. I'm actually going to be down in Alabama on Tuesday on Election Day at a diner for Fox and Friends, so it'll be interesting to see what folks on the ground are saying, too.
That's good. That to me, and I just want to make one quick comment on that, and then we'll let you go, Pete. But that to me, people are going to take that number and they're going to look at it and they're going to spin it as, victims never get believed. Victims never get believed. I don't look at it that way in this particular instance. There is a problem with, in some instances where victims don't get heard and don't get believed. But in this instance, this is the Washington Post doesn't get believed. This is CNN doesn't get believed. It's because these stories have been pushed by outlets that they don't trust and that have lost a lot of credibility. That's why, that to me is my opinion of why that number is so high.
No, you're totally right, Drew.
That's a great point. It's a fantastic point. And it doubled down again on by ABC News with Brian Ross, the fake news he put out that turned out to be completely not true. People, why trust it when it keeps being wrong? Great point.
Yeah, it's a real shame. Pete Hegseth, always great stuff, man. Look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
And I want to mention just real quick, and we'll move back over to some school stuff. And again, Intellectual Takeout's Devin Foley joins us in studio. The GOP pulling this off, if they do, and the individual mandate removals in there with the tax reform. I mean, after the whole year that we've had and all the negativity towards this GOP, and justifiably so, it's pretty amazing that they were able to actually pull those two things out. It's not a repeal replace on healthcare, but it certainly is it's a step in that direction to get rid of that mandate and to get the tax reform in. I mean, as we talked about, they needed to have this happen, and many of those running in those midterm elections needed to have this happen too.
Absolutely. So earlier we were talking about the school lunches and the problems in Stewartville. We do have a couple of holdover calls on that. We want to take those before we wrap up. 651-989-5855. Jay in Minneapolis, thanks for being patient.
Yeah, thank you. Has anybody done the numbers and looked at what the taxpayers would actually save if we eliminated all school lunches, the staff that provided them, the overhead for the equipment, the food, et cetera? Would that result in a tax savings to the people of those school districts that would allow them to be able to afford to provide lunches for their own kids?
Are you saying if you reduce the overall tax rate for public education, that in the savings that the individual would would have that they'd be able to use that money to be able to buy food?
Yes. Would, has anybody actually looked at that and done those numbers?
Yeah, when you look at the numbers, I mean, you... Here's your problem, is that most of the vast majority of funding, particularly for, say, Minneapolis, is not coming from property taxes. It's coming from income tax at the state level. So the state is taking income tax. It's then redistributing it to different school districts around the state. So, and then you've got a layer of federal money in there. You've got a few nonprofit like foundations and things like that giving, and then you've got your property taxes. But the property taxes aren't actually, generally when we've looked at budgets, they're not the major source of revenue for school districts. It's actually income tax.
One thing we wanted to mention before we wrap up, since we have you in studio, just your quick thought. We've got just a couple minutes left here. Out of the Washington Post, the nation's graduation rate rose again to a record high. More than 84% of students graduating on time in 2016. Minnesota out of the 50, among the 50 states, and D.C. ranked 35th with 82.2% of students graduating on time compared to that 84%.
Yeah, I'd actually... the graduation rate is...
up slightly.
Yeah, well, it's also one of the easiest numbers to goose. and I kid you not. If you look at Minneapolis Public Schools, when we had started reporting in on what was happening as far as spending and reading accountability, all of our reading ability, math proficiency, all of that, we initially touched upon graduation rates, but then decided not to because we wanted to see what happens if you start talking about reading proficiency and math proficiency. And if you look at Minneapolis, it's gone up, I want to say 15, 20 points as far as the graduation rate. So huge improvement in the graduation rate. But in that same time, the number of kids who are actually at reading at grade level or doing math at grade level has declined probably about 10 points, maybe 15 points. And so, again, your graduation rate is nothing to celebrate unless the kids actually are competent and the education matches it.
Graduating with something of value.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just saying you're done now. we're not going to educate you anymore. Well, you really haven't yet.
Yeah, it's the easiest number really... to goose. Don't get excited about that one.
Devin Foley, go to intellectualtakeout.org. You guys are putting out some amazing stuff on that website on a very consistent basis. Always a pleasure having you in. Thanks a lot for braving the traffic.
Oh, no, yeah, thank man. You guys. I appreciate it. So,
tomorrow on the show, gubernatorial candidate Matt Dean is going to join us. We're also going to talk to one of the owners of the Whiskey Bar in Minneapolis that announced they're closing up.
And everybody be safe out on the roads today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm Chris Addison. Here's